I Know You From a Nightmare. Written by J.J. Fox, read by A Literal Garbage Heap. Summary. Soulmates AU. When your soulmate is being hurt, you relive it through their eyes. Andrew wasn't sure when the first nightmare happened, but he remembered the day he realized what this was about. He woke up gasping for air, his ribs and stomach flared in pain. The vision of a red-headed man with a vicious, glass-cut smile and a knife digging up Andrew's stomach danced behind his closed eyes. Andrew blinked it away and spent the rest of the night staring at the glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling in his new foster home. He knew then that this wasn't just a nightmare. He knew two things. One, he had a soulmate. And two, they were living in their own personal hell. They were very, very screwed, Andrew and his miserable soulmate. Notes. Trigger warnings for kin typical violence, multiple mentions of Drake, Proust, Lola, Nathan, and Rico. Chapter 1. If Andrew had to be perfectly honest with himself, the whole soulmate thing sounded like a sham. That was, until he was old enough to realize the nightmares, the visions, the memories, had nothing to do with him. When he knew everything he saw in them was happening to someone else. His soulmate. Some days, he wished he could see their face, know who they were, but this wasn't how the soulmate bond worked. He could see only when and how they got hurt, but it was Andrew in their place instead, as if it was all happening to him, and not this mystery soulmate person. Sometimes it happened in a dream, a nightmare, and other times the visions just crawled into his mind in a wave, and he saw all of it as a hallucination while he was awake. Sometimes he felt sorry for them, for what they had to see in their nightmares, when Drake held him down and left him broken, and those before Drake, and when Andrew cut into his own skin, seeking relief that only lasted until the blood dried. It was a good thing that his soulmate couldn't see his face. He didn't want anyone to know those things. His carefully crafted stone facade wouldn't mean shit if someone knew what they had done to him in vivid detail. But his soulmate didn't make it easy on him, either. With Andrew's eidetic memory, those nightmares and visions weren't just dreams that faded. They became memories, real, full-color memories that stayed no matter how hard Andrew tried to forget. He wasn't sure when the first nightmare happened, but he remembered the day he realized what this was about. Andrew woke up gasping for air, his ribs and stomach flared in pain. The vision of a red-headed man with a vicious, glass-cut smile and a knife digging up Andrew's stomach danced behind his closed eyes. Andrew blinked it away and spent the rest of the night staring at the glow-in-the-dark stars on the ceiling in his new foster home. He knew then that this wasn't just a nightmare. He knew two things. One, he had a soulmate. And two, they were living in their own personal hell. They were very, very screwed, Andrew and his miserable soulmate. By the time he'd signed with YMAC, he'd been through 100 cuts. The same redhead man breaking him to pieces, bullet wounds, knives thrown at him, a woman's heavy hands across his face, slamming his head into walls, nearly breaking his arm once. And none of it had happened to him in reality. But he knew the pain of all of it. By the end of freshman year, he realized that he hadn't had a vision for almost a year. He liked to think that his soulmate somehow made it out and saved themselves, but if Andrew had to judge by how his own life had gone so far, his soulmate was probably dead, and this was why he stopped seeing them being hurt. At least he must have died painlessly if Andrew hadn't seen it happening. The day he flew to Millport to get Kevin's new striker recruit, he couldn't stop replaying slamming Neil Jostin with an Exe racket. It felt like a deja vu, as if he'd slammed his own body with the stupid racket. Andrew deemed it misplaced guilt and brushed it off. The kid was trouble. He was a natural liar. Andrew could tell all the signs. He hated the little shit more than he'd hated anyone before. He hated him so much it hurt. Even his medication didn't help ease that. If Neil was a threat to Kevin, Andrew would find out about it. The little shit could be a liar, but no one could lie through drugs. So when Andrew took Neil to Eden's and told Roland to pour cracker dust into his glass, he knew by the end of the night he'd have his answers. But the goddamn idiot sneaked away from where Andrew had trapped him against a wall and ran. And then he got himself knocked out. For $100, Andrew learned later. Andrew kept seeing that punch in the face as if the busboy had punched Andrew and not Neil. Crackers must be messing with his head tonight. Or was it guilt again? Andrew refused to feel guilty for any of what happened tonight. Neil didn't believe people like him could have a soulmate. Fucked up people didn't get one, did they? And in all honesty, he didn't really want a soulmate. What did that even mean? He didn't want what other people did. He didn't want the things his teammates in Millport talked about. He'd kissed a couple of girls before, and it didn't do anything for him. It was weird and sloppy, and overall, a totally empty experience. Not that Neil had expected fireworks or anything, but his teammates talked about stuff like that as if they were a big deal. They were really not. So, why would he even want a soulmate? He couldn't imagine doing those things with anyone, even if they were bonded in some weird cosmic way. Neil wasn't quite sure he believed in that last bit either. For all he could tell, his soulmate was a total mess. The visions Neil had of them started when Neil was 5. He didn't remember much of it, he only remembered the pain. But considering he was growing and Nathan was Ninsky's house, pain wasn't much of a novelty for him. By the time he was 7, he understood quite well what was happening to his soulmate. When his mother took him away from Nathan, Neil thought they'd finally be safe, the pain would finally stop. But all the time, things moved from bad to worse for his soulmate, and Neil couldn't breathe most of those nights. He forced himself to stay awake, hoping it would get easier. Except, it didn't matter if he was awake or asleep, the feeling of being pressed down and helpless and desperate and hurt in ways he'd never been in reality was the same either way. Some nights he barely held in the sobs, and his mother used those moments to teach him that being weak wasn't an option. The last really bad vision Neil had of his soulmate, that wasn't self-inflicted pain, was being trapped in the passenger seat of a car, the body of a woman with her head slammed against the steering wheel, and the burning sensation of his ribs being fractured. Anything after that had been an occasional punch in the face, but most of it was a blur except for the quick flare of pain across his face, and then it was gone in a heartbeat. He never saw the people who punched his soulmate quite as clearly. Those visions were way too fast to disappear. He could live with that, but most days he still wished they could stay out of trouble. Apparently, finding trouble was Neil's soulmate's superpower. When he met Andrew Minyard, the first thing the bastard did was slam an Exe racket at his stomach. Funnily, Neil's mind drifted in a completely different direction. He surely had bigger problems to think about, but all his mind could muster was, "That's what you get for getting punched in the face so much." He'd meant his soulmate. Andrew was a complete asshole. When he dragged him to Eden's and forced crackers onto Neil, he didn't think he'd make it through the night without spilling his secrets to the goddamn bastard with the manic smile. What could he do to him? The rest of the team seemed to be terrified of him, but honestly, Neil didn't feel it. He was more scared when Nikki dragged him to the dance floor and kissed him to force more crackers into his mouth. Neil's head was swimming in haze, and even though he still didn't quite believe in the whole soulmates shenanigans, a red light flared to life in his mind because he didn't want to be the reason to hurt them. Nikki's hands were on him, and his mouth was on Neil's again, and the taste of crackers was disgusting. He knew he would lose control of his body pretty soon, and the only thing that he wanted right then was to get away from Nikki. He didn't know if Nikki would go any further than kissing. He could hurt him, just like those people had hurt his soulmate, and Neil didn't want to be the reason to make his soulmate feel like this ever again. When Nikki left him alone on the dance floor, a wave of relief ran through Neil's body. Alright, maybe he was projecting too much of his soulmate's memories into his own life. Andrew's bunch might be assholes, a whole lot of crazy in a glass, but that didn't mean they would actually hurt him. Physically, that was. After their conversation in Wimac's office, things seemed to settle down between Neil and Andrew. Which didn't mean Neil trusted him. Andrew was still an asshole, a time bomb ticking, and no one knew when it was going to go off. A few weeks later, Neil sat on the couch while Matt was picking a movie for tonight, and his vision went white with a quick flash of pain in his jaw. He'd barely seen the fist sinking down to his face before the stars burst behind his eyelids. He groaned and rubbed his jaw. "You okay, Neil?" Matt asked. "Yeah, I'm fine." "You look like someone punched you in the face," Dan chuckled. "Not me," Neil murmured under his breath. Nikki gasped where he was sitting on the floor next to Allison. "Your soulmate's in trouble?" Neil shrugged. That was when Nikki spurred into one of his endless monologues about his boyfriend Eric and how he'd known everything that happened to Nikki in the conversion camp. It went on and on, one story spilling into another, and it was 20 minutes on when Andrew walked in and Neil's mind blocked everything else apart from the reddish bloom in his jaw. Andrew didn't know what to make of Neil. There was a shift in the way the little liar was looking at him, something different. Andrew wasn't so stupid to think Neil was interested in him the way Andrew was in Neil. The Striker had made it abundantly clear that he wasn't interested in anyone. It wasn't going to be a problem. Neil was just a side effect of the medications, anyway. His little spell would dissolve to dust when Andrew got sober again. He couldn't wait for it. The most annoying thing about Neil was that he was a junkie, just like Kevin. He played like his life depended on it, like he'd die if he didn't throw his entire being into this stupid game. Neil started making even less sense on the game against the Belmont Terrapins. During the game, one of the backliners slammed himself into Neil, and Andrew watched from the goal as a vision flashed quicker than lightning through his head. His own shoulder flared in pain, and then faded in a minute. For a mere second, Andrew's breath caught, and then he talked himself out of it. It wasn't a vision. It couldn't have been. It was just his little infatuation with Neil taking a very physical aspect, and Andrew wanted to punch the little idiot for it. He didn't think of it again. Today, Neil was looking at Andrew like that again, like he had the answers to the questions of the universe, and Andrew hated him for it all over again. "I'm not a lost cause," Neil said. His eyes were wide and curious, staring right into Andrew's. They had stopped in the stupid Etsy store on their way to the hammocks, and Andrew wanted to be anywhere but here. He wasn't sure how he let himself give ground like that, but here he stood, with a hand over Neil's mouth because the asshole wouldn't shut the fuck up, saying words he never planned to let out. "Liar. But that's what makes you interesting. I should know better by now. Maybe I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Should I be disappointed or amused?" Neil looked at him as if he wanted to say something. Something important. Or maybe it was just the drugs playing tricks on Andrew. The tension in the air between them was driving him crazy. He watched as Neil dug somewhere in his mind, trying to put his answer together. He watched him change his mind and just get lost in Andrew's hazed gaze. Understanding swam in Neil's eyes. It was a little truth, something so rare for Neil, let out without saying a word. A truth floating in the space between them. Andrew let go of him and went to find Kevin. Neil hated those people. Nikki's parents were absolute idiots, and Neil hated them. He wanted to tell Nikki they were not worth it. They were never going to be his family, because real family, not some DNA-related assholes, real family wouldn't treat him like Maria and Luther Hemmick did. He wanted to talk to Andrew about what happened in the Etsy store. Well, technically, nothing had happened, but he was sure they had both felt it, the heavy charge of tension between them. Neil's cup of doubt slowly filled, one game at a time, one sparring session with Renee at a time, when she managed to catch Andrew in the face. He hadn't said a word because it was impossible, but he knew Andrew wore the armbands for more than hiding his knives in them. The memory of dozens of cuts in his skin, in his soulmate's skin, made it a little too hard for Neil to pretend he didn't think of this. He knew most people never met their soulmates. This was too much of a coincidence. Neil shook the thought away and stared at his plate, picking at his peas. Andrew had disappeared, and something dark and vile ate at him. He had a bad feeling about all of this. He was sure he made a mistake asking Andrew to be here, but there wasn't anything he could do now. Neil swallowed thickly a few times, avoiding Aaron's pointed stares. And then he felt it. First the searing pain in the side of his head, then the full-color vision blinding him. A big man, all tattoos and muscle. Neil had seen him too many times not to recognize his fucking face. A bottle slammed in his head. Neil dropped the fork, choking on air. "Where's Andrew?" A punch in his throat cut the words short. Fingers gripped around his throat, and his vision went black. No, 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 this couldn't be real. It couldn't be Andrew. Because Andrew was here, and he was safe, and this wasn't... "Neil?" Nikki said. "Andrew is okay. He's just talking to his foster brother upstairs." Luther's voice froze all of the blood in Neil's veins. Neil gripped the edge of the table. A punch in his face, and an elbow in his ribs, another punch hard enough to split his cheek. He coughed. "Aaron, up!" He bent in half to the punch in his stomach and almost puked on the floor at the heavy blow. "Upstairs, now, go!" Neil coughed. Nikki crouched down next to Neil's seat and put a hand on his back. "Neil, what's going on?" Neil caught a glimpse of Aaron in his peripheral vision. The blonde grabbed his racket and bolted upstairs. Kevin followed him. I'm a hand on the back of Neil's neck and a burn around his wrists, another punch in his ribs on the side of his body. Neil couldn't breathe. Nails scratched down his back, dragging a burning path of pain into his skin. Neil let out a sob and pressed his forehead into Nikki's shoulder. The vision wiped out. The pain stopped. There was some yelling upstairs. Kevin's heavy steps down the stairs jolted his head up. "Call 911," Kevin said. Neil wanted to grab Luther Hemmick by the hair and slam his head into the table until something broke. Why the hell would he let that man into his house? He must have known what he'd done to Andrew. You fucking piece of shit, Neil hissed. He shot up to his feet and bolted upstairs. He was shaking. It wasn't like he hadn't seen enough blood in his life, but it still rattled every fiber in his body when he entered the room. Andrew was laughing. His face was a mess, his shirt covered in blood stains on the back, more of it oozing down his cheek, red path crawling down his neck. Dozens of bruises covered his cheeks, his neck, his collarbone. His wrists were angry red. Drake lay on the floor in a pool of blood. When Andrew got taken away by the paramedics, Aaron waited for Neil by the car. He gave him a look that was surprisingly not full of loathing, and nodded for him to get in the car. Somewhere behind him, Nikki was shouting inside the house. Aaron drove off, and it took him only a few minutes to break the silence. "You're his... it doesn't matter." Aaron snorted. "Does he know?" "It doesn't matter," Neil repeated. It didn't matter, because Neil knew when he came here that he would be dead by May. He wasn't so selfish to drag Andrew down with him. This whole soulmate bullshit be damned. Chapter 2. Andrew stood in a hospital room, watching Neil's face. The meds in his system blurred reality, but he still saw the glimpse of determination in Neil's eyes when he said he'd take care of Kevin while Andrew was gone to rehab. "Oh, Neil," Andrew said, and switched to German. "You and I both know you have a dreadful sense of humor, so this can't be a joke. What do you think you're saying? What are you trying to do?" "Take responsibility," Neil said. "Usually such a good liar," Andrew said. "But this time you aren't fooling anyone. Am I to believe you'll hold your ground if Rico comes for you? Maybe I'll come back and you won't be here anymore." "If I was going to leave, I would have done so at the banquet when Rico called me by my name," Neil said. "I won't lie and say I didn't think about it, but I decided to stay. I trusted you more than I was scared of him. So trust me now if you can. I'm not going anywhere. I'll take care of Kevin until you return." "Trust you?" Andrew's head swam in thick fog. He barely kept himself afloat. "You lie and lie and lie, and you think I'll trust you with his life?" "Then don't trust Neil. Trust me." "Oh, but who are you? Do you have a name?" "If you need one, call me Abram." Abram. It sounded sweet, like the softest song of wind chimes tuned up to his soul. He fought the urge to repeat it. "Should I believe that?" "I'm named after my father," Neil said. "Abram is my middle name. It's the name my mother used when she was trying to protect me from his work." Neil looked at Andrew as if he wanted to say something more, but nothing came out. They stared at each other, the silence between them heavy with everything neither of them wanted to say out loud. This might be the last time Andrew saw Neil like that. He'd considered what it would be like when he got off his medications. Neil was, after all, a side effect, a goddamn pipe dream. He wasn't real. Neil's fingers softly brushed against Andrew's knuckles. Even through the veil of meds, it did things to his head that he never wanted to talk about. Neil dragged Andrew's hand under the hem of his shirt and pressed his palm over his stomach. Andrew knew what scars felt like, had plenty of those himself, but those were different. Those were violent marks of Neil's past, reminders that someone tried to destroy him, consistently, and yet, he survived. "Do you understand?" Neil said. "Nothing Rico does will make me leave him. We will both be here when you get back." Andrew heard it, but his fingertips were busy exploring the deep cut crawling from Neil's ribs to his stomach, and memory of searing pain waking him up flared his mind on fire. Fuck, he was too high for this. Maybe it was just the meds playing tricks on him. He'd brushed it all off since the day he'd met Neil Jostin, blamed it on guilt and moved on. But right now, he stood in front of him with a hand over a scar he was pretty sure he felt being carved into Neil's skin. One of the memories Andrew hated the most was this one time the red-headed man hit his soulmate with a hot iron. Andrew had wanted to shake out his own skin that day. Nothing hurt quite like burned skin. He slid his hand up Neil's chest, feeling the quick heartbeat under his palm, and stopped over his right shoulder. And there they were, the little raised bumps the iron's holes had left behind. And just like that, a different kind of storm raged inside Andrew's chest. This couldn't be real. He must be hallucinating. Neil wasn't. How did Andrew get up the stairs so fast? He practically tore the door down. He knew something was going on, Andrew said. At least he managed to keep his voice steady. You know how, Neil said quietly. Andrew pulled his hand away. He trapped two fingers against Neil's forehead and pushed his head back. Whatever you're thinking, you're wrong. He pulled one of his manic grins and walked to Kevin's side. Pipe dream, pipe dream, pipe dream. It was just the drugs. It was all the drugs. East Haven was a blur. Andrew spent the first 3 weeks or so trying to keep the contents of his stomach in, fighting the horrible withdrawal symptoms. There was a doctor, and everything about him screamed wrong. Andrew knew the signs, the looks, the way their bodies shifted when they were around him. He'd learned the signs the second time around. By the time Drake came into the picture, he knew every single one of them, and Dr. Proust was just like them, waiting. Predators always waited, until they didn't. When Andrew got through the worst of the withdrawals, Proust assigned him one-on-one sessions. He didn't touch him, not yet, but he did just about anything else to break him. He knew the nicknames, the right words to trigger a reaction out of him. He knew he was ticklish and used his own body against Andrew until all he wanted to do was rip his hands off the restraints and cut, cut, cut until the screams in his head fell silent. At least that humiliation Neil couldn't see, as long as Proust didn't physically hurt him. If Neil was, indeed, real, which Andrew really doubted at this point. Now that the meds were gone, he evaluated everything about Neil, and none of it made sense. Andrew might have been right all along about him. Maybe Neil Jostin was nothing like the person Andrew's drug mind had created in his head. A week before Christmas, Proust forced some pills into Andrew's mouth, tied him down to the bed, and waited until Andrew couldn't say his own name. Then his hands were on him, not hurting, just touching him. But then again, in Andrew's world, physical pain was never the biggest issue. It was the monsters that invaded his headspace when he felt the first touch of skin. When the haze was gone, Andrew knew it wouldn't be long until Proust took every last bit of control from him. His fucking soulmate beat Proust right to the hurting part. It started with a cane. It kept slamming down into his body until every part of him hurt. Then there was a flash of pain in the corner of his mouth, a weight of a body on top of him, and Andrew almost screamed lying in his own bed in East Haven. A knife slipped under his skin, and Rico's face came into focus in Andrew's vision. When it stopped, Andrew's face was wet with tears. Neil sat in his bed, holding his weight on his arms, pressed against the mattress as Jean stitched a wound on his shoulder. He couldn't have been here for more than a couple of days, but right now every minute felt like a year. But it was worth it. Andrew was worth it. Neil reminded himself again why he was doing this. Protect Andrew. Keep him safe. Don't let them hurt him again. A few visions were nothing compared to what that doctor in East Haven could do to him. Every muscle in his body burned, but he still felt the sharp sting on the inside of his forearm, like a pinch of something sharp, like a bite. A second followed, and a third, and then he couldn't breathe, and the vision flared to life before his eyes. The face was blurred, but Neil saw the extended arms, fingers wrapped around his throat, a knee pressed against his stomach. Then the man bit his forearm again, and again, hard enough to break skin, and Neil yelped. Andrew's scars, he realized. Neil was up off the bed in a heartbeat. Jean jumped after him. Sit down. I'm not done stitching you. I'm fine. Can you leave me alone now? Neil said. Jean raised an eyebrow. Your call. Bleed into the mattress if you insist. Neil pushed past him and threw himself on the bed, causing the first aid kit to scatter on the floor. He feigned helping Jean put it back together, slipping a pair of pinchers and a safety pin in his pocket. Neil blinked through the vision, gritting his teeth. Fuck Rico. Fuck that goddamn asshole. Neil had agreed to this for one reason only, and right now, that reason was suffering, regardless. Whatever deal Neil had made with Rico, it turned into dust right then and there. He would have stayed and done anything Rico wanted from him, trying his best not to get hurt too much, for Andrew. But Rico never planned to keep his end of the deal, except he had no idea Neil could find out, because he didn't know Andrew was his soulmate. Jean scoffed when he finally put the first aid kit together and stormed out of the room, locking the door from the outside. Neil didn't wait. The vision was gone, and he planned to waste no time. He changed into a clean shirt, put a hoodie on, and broke into Rico's drawer, fishing his ID and phone out. 10 minutes later, he was out of the room and down a staircase that probably led to a basement. The best thing about the nest, Neil figured, was that it was unlocked. Open doors, unguarded exits. Rico didn't bother guarding any of the ravens. He didn't really have to. None of them would walk out. None of his investments would risk being hunted down and killed if they tried to escape. But Neil wasn't Rico's investment, and he walked out of Evermore the exact same way he entered. And there was no one to stop him. He called Kevin from a cafe near the airport. "Can you get me a ticket and send it to me? I'll pay it back." "Neil, what? I don't want you to pay me back. What happened? Where are you?" "Close to the airport in Charleston. I need to get back, and I need you to call YMAC and B and get Andrew the fuck out of East Haven. Today." Kevin drew in a sharp breath. "What's going on?" "Can you send me the goddamn ticket or not?" "Yes. Yes, hold on. I'm booking it now. I'll email it to you. Can you take it from there?" Neil sighed. "Yes. Call YMAC. He needs to..." A sound made it out of Neil's throat before he could stop it. "Someone's hurting him, Kevin. Get him out of there." "I'm on it. Get on that plane." Neil nodded before he realized Kevin couldn't see him. "Neil." "Yes?" "We'll get him out. Just come back." Neil stood in front of Andrew, watching the cigarette between his lips. Damn Neil and his stares. Why the hell had he gone to Rico? Andrew couldn't wrap his head around it. "Care to explain?" Andrew said. "Are you asking because you didn't see any of it, or because you just want me to say it?"
"Say it."
"I stayed in Evermore."
"Why did you go?"
"Rico said if I didn't, Dr. Proust would..." Andrew clapped a hand over his mouth. "I don't need you to protect me."
"I know."
"Do you? If you did, you wouldn't have gone. What did you think would happen there, Neil?" Anger slipped into his voice, and Andrew clenched his teeth tightly to fight through it. "I thought a few bad visions would be the lesser evil. At least they're not real. Not like what Proust would..." Andrew backed him up against the door. "I hate you. I said I would keep you alive this year. You make it infinitely more difficult for me when you actively try to get yourself killed."
"You spend all this time watching our backs," Neil said. "Who's watching yours?"
"Don't say you are, because you and I both know you take shit care of yourself."
"You're one to talk about shit care."
Andrew leaned in closer. Neil's eyes grew wider, the crystal blue giving way to the black of his pupils. Objectively, Neil had always been attractive. But now, without the drugs to cloud his mind and the change in Neil's appearance, Andrew felt like falling just looking at him. He did anyway. He was stronger than that. Stronger than a little infatuation that would fade away eventually. So what if it was his soulmate? The whole soulmate thing was a sham, wasn't it? Just another way to put a limitation on people's choices. Andrew dug a finger under Neil's chin and pushed it up. "Look at me. The next time someone comes for you, stand down and let me deal with it. Do you understand? If it means losing you, then no," Neil said. Andrew ignored the little shiver at the base of his spine. "I hate you. You were supposed to be a side effect of the drugs."
"I'm not a hallucination," Neil said.
"You are a pipe dream." Andrew watched Neil's lips as he opened his mouth ever so slightly, as if to say something. He wanted to kiss him. That wasn't news, but this was different. It wasn't like all of those other guys he wanted to touch just to burn out an urge. Neil made him want, and Andrew Minyard wanted nothing. So fuck Neil. He took one last drag of his cigarette and blew the smoke in Neil's face. "When the year's up, I'll gladly let you fuck off and never see your stupid face again." He flipped the cigarette off and left Neil on the rooftop.
Neil was still tingling with the sensation of Andrew's careful fingers across his skin when he'd inspected his scars before they came to Eden's. He'd touched Neil as if the scars were a marvel. The thing was, Neil didn't want to be touched. In general, that was. He didn't want anyone's hands on him. He didn't want to touch anyone back or kiss anyone. It wasn't a lie. But then there was Andrew, and none of those things applied to him. Neil would gladly let himself get lost in the touch of Andrew's steady palms again. Roland threw a look at Neil as he mixed a new batch of drinks. "So Andrew finally gave in, huh?" he said. "That looks pretty bad." Neil followed the bartender's gaze to his wrists, where the long-sleeved shirt didn't quite cover the lacerations left from the cuffs Rico kept on him. "I'd wondered if being clean would cure that hands-off rule of his. Makes sense it wouldn't, now that we know about..." Neil didn't even care to look at Roland. The man didn't know shit about the things Andrew had gone through. Neil did. "I don't know whether to say thanks for easing my curiosity or sorry that sobriety has obviously exacerbated the problem. Just, you know, they make padded cuffs. You should look into them." Neil squinted his eyes. It rubbed him all the wrong ways that Roland thought Andrew would ever hurt Neil. There was one reason why Roland would know such a personal detail about Andrew, and he pushed the thought out of his head. Neil grabbed the tray off the table, threw what was the nastiest look he could muster, and mumbled, "I got these in a fight. Andrew would never hurt me." Fucking asshole. If Andrew had to use other methods to keep Roland's hands out of the way, that only meant Roland couldn't do it himself, and for that, he'd gladly punch his nose into his skull. Neil put the tray on the table and gestured to Andrew. "Want to come smoke outside?" he said in German. Kevin didn't even bother to look at him, probably used to the switch in languages by now. Andrew nodded and followed Neil through the crowd. Outside, Neil leaned against the wall and watched Andrew light up a cigarette and pull a long drag. Or maybe he was watching his lips. He wasn't sure anymore, not when it came to Andrew. "Why does Roland think you're tying me down?" Neil said. He half expected Andrew wouldn't respond to the question. Andrew froze for a second in the middle of a drag and stared at Neil's face. His gaze slid down to Neil's wrists. "Presumably he thinks you're as bad at following directions as he is," Andrew said. "Why would he think you..." Neil swallowed hard. "You hate me, remember? Every inch of you. That doesn't mean I wouldn't blow you." Neil's brain short-circuited. He pulled whatever composure he could muster back into himself. "Or maybe you're just a coward." At that, Andrew laughed. "Weren't you the one who runs before he fights?" "I stayed when it mattered." Andrew flicked the cigarette off and closed the distance between them. "Tell me, Neil, what is it you think I'm afraid of?" Neil stared him in the eyes. "Feeling." "Feeling," Andrew repeated. He looked away from Neil's face. "I don't feel anything for you. You're lying. You've let this whole soulmate thing mess with your head." He looked back and held Neil's chin in his hand, pushing his head back against the wall ever so slightly, insinuating every word. "Soulmates aren't real." "Is that why you hate me? Because I prove your little theory wrong?" Neil couldn't look away from Andrew's eyes. That little spark he felt at the Exe store returned in the pit of his stomach, and this time he knew what it was. Andrew's hand slowly slid up Neil's cheek. The silence between them stretched out. Andrew could say whatever he wanted, but that didn't mean it was true. And he'd called Neil a liar, the absolute hypocrite. Neil kept his gaze for what could have been minutes. He couldn't tell. Time was always an abstract concept when Andrew was involved. "Don't look at me like that. I'm not your answer, and you sure as fuck aren't mine," Andrew said. "I'm not looking for an answer. I just want..." The words died on his tongue. What did he want, really? To stay? To have a home? A place he was welcome? Andrew already gave him that. Andrew leaned in. "What do you want?" "Anything you want to give me," he said, surprising even himself with the truth ringing in those words. Andrew's lips were an inch away from Neil. Heat pooled in Neil's stomach. For someone who'd claimed he didn't swing, that was intense. But then again, when had Andrew not been intense? Neil shoved his hands in the pockets of his jeans. "Yes or no?" Andrew said, his breath brushing against Neil's lips. "Yes." Neil's heart stuttered at the touch of Andrew's lips. His pulse drummed madly in his ears. Andrew had been a gravitational pull from the day they'd met, but from that close, there wasn't enough willpower to pull Neil away, even if he tried. Andrew tasted like whiskey and cigarette smoke. His hand on Neil's cheek slid down and rested on his neck, his fingertips right over the pulse point. He deepened the kiss, and a sound ripped out of Neil's throat. Andrew pulled back. "This doesn't mean anything," Andrew said. "I know. I still hate you. I know." Andrew kissed him again, and Neil didn't care if it was true. It was better for Andrew to hate him. He wouldn't care when Neil died if he hated him. He wouldn't get hurt at the end of it all. It was selfish, so goddamn selfish. But Neil wanted this more than he'd ever wanted anything. So he stopped thinking altogether and let Andrew take him apart with his kisses. It didn't mean anything. Not when Andrew put his hands on Neil and made his body shiver. Not when he kissed him until his lips numbed. Not when he pushed him over the edge. Not when Andrew let him hold onto his shoulders, let him slip his hands in his hair, let him kiss his neck. Not when he shivered as Neil did so. It was supposed to be this way. It was nothing. And then Neil was standing in front of Andrew, with the men who came to take him away, and he was saying, "Thank you," and "You were amazing," and it meant everything. He was saying, "Goodbye," and "I'm sorry," and "I'll never let anyone hurt you again," and he hoped Andrew would understand later. When Lola cut the first line in his skin, all Neil wanted was to make it all stop. He didn't want Andrew to feel any of this. Neil was used to fighting, when it was hopeless, when there was no way out. He would fight until his last heartbeat, but right now, fighting meant more pain, more dragging out his inevitable death. Andrew had endured enough pain in his life, and besides, there's no saving Neil now. And for once, he stopped fighting. He stopped holding on. He'd wait until Lola started carving lines into his ribs, and he'd push the knife a little deeper, hoping he'd bleed out by the time they got to Nathan, and it will all be over. Binghamton was a nightmare. Andrew was running through the stadium, looking for a familiar flicker of red, and panic rose in his chest after every passing minute. "Stop it. Nothing. He means fucking nothing." The lies didn't keep the panic from rising higher. He spotted Aaron and Nikki by the bus. Kevin was already inside, and Andrew rushed to Wimac. "Is Neil here yet?" "Get on the bus, Minyard. I'm handling it. We'll find him. But I can't be looking for two of my players, so get inside." Andrew stared him dead in the eyes. And then pain seared the nerves of his fingers. He shook his hand as if it would go away like that. It didn't. There was a cut, and another, and the vision burst to life in vivid colors. A small, blonde woman stood over him, pressing him down. His wrists were cuffed, and there was no room to move, nowhere to run. There was nothing but her wicked grin and a blade, and it kept cutting. Andrew choked on the sound he couldn't smother. "What is it?" Wimac said. "Neil, we have to... Andrew was trembling. "Get inside. I'm calling the police again." Andrew climbed up the bus and slumped down into a seat and pressed his head to his knees. Someone crouched down next to him. There were too many eyes on him, too many bodies close to him. He wanted to scream. "Coach, I swear to God," Andrew hissed through his clenched teeth. "What's going on?" Aaron said. He was the one crouching next to Andrew. Andrew gripped the edge of his seat, fighting against the sob in his throat. His hands were burning. "Andrew, what's happening? Where's Neil?" Aaron hated Neil. He'd never ask for his well-being just like that, but Andrew suspected he knew. His twin looked at Neil differently after Thanksgiving, as if he knew a secret. "I don't know," Andrew forced out. Aaron reached for his hand. "Don't touch me." Another cut, and another cut, and another. Andrew lost count. All he knew was the blonde woman kept grinning through it. "Coach," Andrew called out. "They're doing everything they can to find him. He's going to die. He's going to... There." Andrew let out a sob. "Andrew, what are you talking about? We're going to find him. It's Neil. He's probably run halfway through the city by now," Nikki said. Andrew concentrated on the vision. A blonde woman, a man holding him down. They were in a car. The worst thing about the visions was that they were just that. visions. No sound. The woman leaned over him, tracing his cheek with her thumb and moving her lips to talk. Andrew gathered everything he had in that single moment, focusing on the words her lips made. It's his father, Andrew said. That was all he got. Before, father, face. It didn't take a genius to guess where Neil was. Kevin made a choked noise from his seat. No. He's dead. Kevin knew. The fucking asshole knew, and he'd said nothing. Andrew bit down the pain, pushed Aaron, and lunged forward. He grabbed Kevin by the neck. You fucking coward! Where is he? I'll kill you! His grip around Kevin's throat tightened. Andrew! For fuck's sake, let go of him, Wymack shouted. He gripped one of Andrew's shoulders. Matt pulled the other, and Andrew was shoved down into his seat. Wymack crouched down, clutching the back of the seat and using his arm as a restraint. Kevin, what do you know? Where's Neil?
Baltimore, Kevin rasped.
Andrew was about to speak when fire claimed his face. The sound he made wasn't human, for all he could tell. He pressed one hand against his cheek, the other convulsively clenched Wymack's shoulders. It was too much. Andrew thought the hot iron that slammed into Neil's shoulder had been the worst kind of pain. But this was 10 times worse. The pain blurred most of the vision out, but he still saw the dashboard lighter as the blonde woman pulled it off his face. Andrew, what the... Oh, shit. Shit. Really? Abby! Wymack called. Bring the medical bag here. The second time the lighter connected to his skin, Andrew couldn't keep the sobs down. Tears streamed down his face, and he couldn't bring himself to care that the others saw him like that. Agony devoured his nerves. Just stop it. Stop, stop it, stop it, Andrew mumbled mindlessly and pressed his head down. Abby, please help him, Nikki said. What the fuck is wrong with him? We need to get him to the hospital. Nikki, shut up, Aaron said. Abby, do you have anything to knock him out? Wymack said. Knock him out? What the fuck? That was Matt. Maybe. Andrew couldn't quite tell anymore. Matt, babe, shut up, Dan said shakily. What is... Oh, that... A fresh wave of excruciating pain ripped through Andrew's skin, and all the sounds merged into a blur. The woman cut thin lines into his forearms, into Neil's forearms, and then the lighter followed, melting a path into his skin. Andrew barely registered Abby pulling up his sleeve and jabbing the needle in his arm. Everything after that was a thick fog, flashes of faces and knives, and Andrew's nerves might have felt some of it, but his mind flickered in and out of consciousness, numbing reality. Andrew kneeled down in front of him. Neil had been sure he'd never see his face again, but here he was, by some cosmic miracle. Neil was still alive, and Andrew was right here. Andrew pressed his hand on the back of Neil's head, pulling him closer until their foreheads touched. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I hurt you, Neil said. You didn't. You're so stupid. I hate you, Andrew said. We've already clarified that, remember? Andrew pulled back just enough to look him in the eye. I'll cut you a new deal. I thought you let go of that. I don't need you to protect me anymore. An angry spark lit to life in Andrew's eyes. I didn't. Protect you. He ran his thumb on Neil's good cheek. Evidently. So let's make a deal. You'll stay. And in return? I'll think of something. Neil huffed a laugh. I don't see how you're getting anything out of this deal. Shut up. Yes or no? Neil shivered. Yes. Andrew kissed him as if he were made out of glass, uncharacteristically gentle and slow. When he pulled off, his eyes were shut and his breath shivered against Neil's face. Stay, Andrew whispered. Stay with me. Andrew wasn't one for confessions, but Neil heard one in his voice anyway. It was wrecked and scared, and yet warm. Neil put a hand on top of Andrew's where it was still pressed against his cheek. There's nowhere else I want to be. Andrew leaned in and kissed his forehead, a quiet exhale brushing Neil's hair. It was like a promise, a silent, I'll never let you go again. And Neil didn't need Andrew to say anything. He was right where he belonged. He was home. The end. Thanks for listening.